Woo, woo!
Woo, woo. Good Tuesday, everybody. Raj, I'm going to cross my fingers that you make it in and out this weekend. I'm hoping that you're a much braver man than me. Whether it comes to wild animals or any of that other stuff, I'm a little concerned about you, my friend.
Well, that's not happening this weekend. That's happening a little early next month. But if I come back with a sniffle, I would take off the week off. Don't worry, guys. You won't catch it over the phone.
Please do. Please do. You said you had breaking news on the Lakers, right?
Yeah, breaking news on the Lakers, guys. We've been waiting to hear about Markieff Morris, and word on the street is he is reportedly en route to Orlando to join his teammates in the on the Disney World campus. So, you know, he'd been out on an excused absence, so we don't know what that is or why he was excused, but he is en route, and he should be there later today to join the Lakers front court.
Yeah, that I mean, you go back.
Great news.
It's great news because, it just feels like such a long time ago that we were actually talking about what was taking place on the court. But you go back to those last couple of games before the league got shut down. We're talking about the Milwaukee game and particularly the Clippers game. Markieff Morris played big minutes for the Lakers in that game. Now, he was not just a guy that was kind of there and putting on a uniform and wearing a sweatsuit. He was playing big minutes against the team that arguably has got the best chance to take them out in the playoffs. They're going to need him.
Yeah, absolutely, because he was supposed to have been the solution to a problem we thought we had. And he's a big-time player, you know, very talented offensively. I know his brother is the one we really wanted at first, but this isn't like, you know, I really wanted a steak and you gave me a fish stick. You know, he's pretty right. Good. So it's great news that he's healthy. Look. It's more and more that I'm hearing and seeing video footage of practices and things like that, Travis, the better I feel. And maybe I'm in a bubble of my own, and the bubble is just so pro-Laker that I can't see any dangers. But this is an extremely talented squad. Extremely talented squad. A lot of guys on this squad that the Lakers have built can do some damage on both ends of the floor. They're smart. They're tough. You know, our biggest question mark, really, the biggest one, truly, is whether or not Kuz can be a consistent third scorer. And if that's our biggest question mark, then we're in really good shape. Really good shape. Because the question isn't who's our third leading scorer, who's going to be the third guy, who's the one. We know who it is. The question is, can he be consistently that guy? That's a luxury. That is a true luxury. There's a lot of teams in this league that don't have that. They have so many more problems than just who's going to be our third scorer.
And the reason they have so few, if we're just kind of cutting to the chase, is that they have LeBron James. And LeBron James covers so many problems that you may have. And look, if Kyle Kuzma needs to be your third scorer and maybe he's not up for it that night, okay, fine, LeBron, you do it. And he can. And he's done it over and over and over again. And it just it's funny because here we are talking about him, you know, for an MVP this year. And it doesn't seem like he'll get it. It seems that it's going to go to Giannis, and Giannis is a good choice too. It's not like LeBron is getting ripped off. But it just – we talked about this a couple weeks ago. LeBron James is the only guy that when we talk about the great players in the history of the NBA, that there's a giant yeah, but with him. There's no yeah, but with Michael Jordan. Nobody yeah, buts MJ. When you talk about Michael Jordan, you talk about 6-0 in the finals, you talk about MVPs, you talk about Defensive Player of the Year, you talk about him being in the clutch, you talk about all of the wonderful things that we have about Michael Jordan. No one ever yeah-butts him. No one ever yeah-butts Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No one ever yeah-butts Bill Russell. You know, that LeBron James is unique in that he clearly is one of the greatest to have ever played this game. And if we're being generous, he's in the top five, and that's being generous. The answer is he's probably in the top three, and he might be number one. But he gets yeah-butted more than any other great athlete I've ever – yeah, but he was in the East. Yeah, but he went with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. Yeah, but he went up against a time where there were no other great players. It's just, why is he the only guy that gets yeah-butted like this? Because even in the moment with Kareem and Michael, there was some criticism of them, but it was never, oh, the reason they're having success is because of these four other reasons. Only LeBron has had to deal with that.
Yeah, it is very, very, very disrespectful. I would argue that maybe Kobe is similarly disrespected when you consider how little his name is mentioned in terms of GOAT. Maybe it's because we know he's not the best shooting guard. That's Michael Jordan. So how can you be a GOAT if you're not even the GOAT of your position? Maybe that's the rationale. When Kareem's name is mentioned when it comes to GOAT, it's not a yeah, but. The disrespect for Kareem is that sometimes people forget to mention him. But once he's mentioned, it's universally accepted as, yeah, that's a great choice. That's a great choice. But LeBron, you mention LeBron's name, and you have to start debating as soon as you say James. And it's absolutely ridiculous. You go, who's an all-time great? This guy. Yep, this guy. Yep, this guy. Yep, this guy. LeBron James. Ah, he left Cleveland. He went to Miami. Ah, he lost against Dallas. Ah, he's lost in the finals.
Like, he played in the East. He
goes to that. He played in the East.
You know what? That's the dumbest one of them all. That he played in the East is the dumbest argument against him of all these things. I don't care if he was playing in the Big Ten. He went to the finals 8 years in a row. That's not, I mean, if you talk to anybody about any sort of professional sports, to get to the championship round once is incredibly difficult. 8 times in a row? There were other good teams in the East. Was there a Golden State Warriors over there? No, maybe not. But so what? It of all the arguments against him, that's the one that just is, oh, well, he played in the East. Do you know why the East was dominant? Because of him. It wasn't like he just posted up in one spot. He went to Miami, went to 4 in a row, came back to Cleveland, went to 4 more in a row. And by the way, Cleveland was a tire fire before he got there and then after he left. So don't give me this that they were loaded. It's him. He made the East a one-man show because nobody could get past him. How many times did Toronto get their hearts ripped out because LeBron hit a big shot or LeBron went right through them? I mean, it's a ridiculous argument against him for a guy that is a great teammate, a guy that plays his guts out, a guy that never gets hurt, a guy that's played at a high level, a guy that's going to be the all-time leading scorer by the time this is all said and done, a guy that's going to have at worst 3 championship rings, probably more than that. It just seems inevitable that he's going to get another one with the Lakers. And we're finding reasons to talk why he's not one of these guys. Go ahead and figure it out. I get it. You hated the decision. You hated it. Okay, fine. Get over it.
I saw, I forgot which network or news outlet tweeted something about pure scores. And it had an image of like Carmelo and KD and Jordan, of course. And LeBron was in the image. And the number of people who said that LeBron James shouldn't have been in that image when they talk about was hilarious to me. And then when you just look at some of the rationale, you know, oh, his game was limited. Really? What exactly can't LeBron James do?
Right.
On the offensive side of the floor. What exactly can't the third leading scorer in NBA history not do offensively? it was amazing to me. But people, and I'm not making this up, people were downright disgusted that LeBron James's name was mentioned among other great scorers because they don't see him as a great scorer.
He's going to finish with 40,000 points.
In assists. Travis, he's leading the league in assists, and he's still giving you 26 a night. What the hell?
He's going to finish his career with 40,000 points. Okay, and that's not saying, oh, he needs to get hot. If he just keeps doing what he's doing, even if you allow for a moderate drop-off as he continues to age a little bit, he's going to go past 40,000 points. Kareem, who has the most ever, has 38,000 and change. He's going to go over 40, and he can't score.
It's going to be
– Okay.
And people think he's not a great scorer. And just like people don't think he's a great finisher, people don't think he's clutch. You know, people don't think that he belongs in a conversation with some of the GOATs you mentioned earlier because he's lost in the finals. And I'm like, he's going to end up being in the finals half the time he's playing in the league.
I was going to say, I'm going off memory here. I think this is right. I think Magic Johnson lost 4 finals. Nobody ever mentions that. You know what I mean? That Magic lost in the finals too, and it's not used as a weapon against him. It's hard to win the damn finals. Larry Bird lost in the finals.
It's hard.
You know, I mean, the guys lose in the finals. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson lost in the finals. Oh, who did they lose to? Yeah, him. I mean, it's losing in the finals does not mean that you suck. It means you got beat by another good team.
And it doesn't mean your conference was ridiculous. I mean, and when you really think about who he's lost to, two of the greatest franchises in terms of dominance in the history of the league, the Spurs and then the Golden State Warriors. The five-year run of the Golden State Warriors is absolutely bonkers, and we all know this. We all know this. A team that won 70-some games went out and got Kevin Durant, and that's the squad that's beating LeBron James, and somehow that means LeBron sucks. Somehow that means, well, Michael Jordan would have beat them. No, Michael Jordan would not have beaten that Golden State Warriors squad. Stop it.
No, it's silly. That's a silly argument. Let's take a listen very quickly to Frank Vogel talking about what it's like to be around what we're about to see again, and that's playoff LeBron.
Well, it's going to be really enhanced. You know, obviously it's been great having LeBron on our side after years of going against him. But in particular, when we get to the playoff environment, I've just seen how he is this year with some of the bigger regular season games, how he's just more mentally locked in, more vocal, more making sure everybody else is locked in. And I anticipate that come playoff time, we'll see that all be done at an enhanced level and looking forward to being a part of it.
Exactly. I mean, yes, he had a bad finals against the Dallas Mavericks. He did. He didn't play well. Okay.
He did.
Is that the end all be all to him being not one of the great players of all time? Is that he had a bad finals against Dallas? He absolutely did. It was very odd to see him play the way that he did, but this does not disqualify him as one of the all-time greats the way that it seems to be used against him.
Travis, if you're a LeBron James teammate, you have a much better chance of being in the finals, which he's done a lot, than losing the first round, which his team has never done.
Exactly.
Never lost in the first round of the postseason. Come on, man. What are we doing?
And
here?
Unlike LeVar Ball, he's actually telling the truth. Never lost in the first round.
Never lost.
Don't forget, you're going to want to listen this Friday. It's coming up. You got a chance to win a Laker prize pack. It is a Lakers jersey, a limited edition 12-inch Anthony Davis NBA collectible figure from Small Stars, exclusive access to our Lakers virtual watch party, I should say. That's the first game against the Clippers on July 3rd. 30th. That virtual watch party is going to be hosted by the Cam. So make sure that you're listening on Fridays for your chance to win. That's powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons to score slam dunk savings on your next oil change. Uh-oh, I never know what we're going to get into, but Would You Rather is coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
That's right, Travis. Have no fears. This time we got some. It's nothing bad, nothing bad. But, you know, LZ, you've accused me of being sneaky a little bit. And I'll admit, you know, sometimes I can be a little sneaky.
You better, so
I went to the Twitter polls on my own. I did not go through Janice or the ESPN. I just wanted to know from the people if you guys were sleeping on, if LZ and Travis were sleeping on Adam Ant, and the people say, hell yeah, y'all were sleeping on Adam Ant. So put up a little poll, and that was what's done. But I wanted to throw this into a would you rather. You guys, I know we haven't been able to do concerts in this pandemic, but let's say you had some choices. So I'm going to give you some choices. Would you rather attend this concert first? Let's hear it. That's right. Would you rather check out Adam Ant concert? You can go check out an Adam Ant concert. Or how about this one? Let's play the next one, Jorge. You guys remember this?
Falco.
Falco. You can attend this concert. So you got a couple of choices there. But if that wasn't enough, if you really wanted to choose what concert you could attend, let's play our third musical choice there. That's right. And if I'm not mistaken, all three of the gentlemen may have passed away. I'm not sure about that, but we'll do a little bit of research on there. But let's say you, Travis, which concert would you rather attend out of the three choices there? You got Adam Ant, you got Falco, and I believe Jermaine Stewart was the third individual's name.
Oh, my gosh.
Which one for you, Travis?
Well, I can – All right. I'm doing the math in my head right now. I would assume that all three of these men would be performing at my local bar, because I can't imagine any sort of venue.
Or carnival, or the carnival. You know,
State Fair or something like that. The carnival.
So I mean,
yes. Yeah. Falco, I guess, because at least okay. Rock Me Amadeus, that I kind of know the chorus of that one. That if I have to take a pick, a choice, I could at least get through that one song. Hopefully they'd play it three or four times, because I really don't need to hear Falco play anything other than Rock Me Amadeus. Adam Ant's really not my cup of tea. You know, Adam Ant's deal is not Travis's deal exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, I know I've heard that song, but I haven't heard it in 30 years or whatever it is. So, yeah, I guess it's Falco, but narrowly edging out Adam Ant.
Okay, and I'm doing some research here on my own.
Amadeus.
I went to Raj.com, and two of the three are definitely confirmed passed away. I'm just trying to find out about Adam Ant. So there you go. God bless the dead. But what about you, LZ? Who are you going to see? Adam Ant? Are you going to go see Falco? Or are you going to go see Jermaine Stewart?
Oh, God. Why do you hate us?
See, and now you guys were saying Adam Ant didn't.
It's so 90 these other minutes.
These other two gentlemen only had one song. This shows the greatness of Adam Ant. This is what I was trying to prove to you.
No, I'm actually just trying to decide between James Stewart and Falco. I've already eliminated Adam Ant from my head. I'm trying to figure out if I want to hear the extended remix of Amadeus or the extended remix of... I'm going to go with Falco.
You're going to go with Falco?
Yeah, because I don't even believe him.
Let's carpool.
We didn't get our clothes off. I didn't believe in that.
He's not even speaking English.
My religion.
You guys are, okay, that's right.
That's against my religion, drinking some cherry wine. First of all, who the hell is drinking cherry wine?
That Jermaine Stewart said you can find cherry wine.
Yeah. Keep your clothes on, girl. We're going to drink some wine coolers instead. No, I'm not doing that.
Oh, God.
All right.
Although, you know, I don't know. The idea of a wine cooler does not sound terrible, because I've kind of gotten hooked on the claw. Thanks for nothing, Raj.
That's basically
a modern day wine cooler. They're not the end of the world. I'm not gonna pretend that I'm too manly to drink the claw. Those things are pretty good.
By at least
I haven't had a wine cooler. I can't even remember the last time I had a wine cooler. I can't remember the last time I had Prosecco. They didn't have orange juice in it. Mm. Like, there's just certain things that I'm just not doing. I mean, Travis, we've been together. Raj, we've been together. Jorge, you guys know I'm a drinker.
Oh, yes, you are.
I'm a drinker. Oh, and I want alcohol. I don't want your Kool-Aid.
No, but this is about so early in the day, Trav, at the pool or out at the beach. You're not trying to get lit yet, but you just want a little something. And you don't want the calories, and you don't want the carbs. Get you a White Claw in the warm weather. Get the grapefruit one or the watermelon for you, perhaps. And you will not be disappointed.
Dude, if I'm worried about calories
and
all that stuff, then I'm just going to smoke and just eliminate the calories altogether.
But sometime at the pool. No, but you want to be refreshed. You're in the sun.
I'm going to drink some water and smoke. I'm not going to drink a wine cooler.
You're missing out. Missing out. Travis has seen the light now, and you can too, you know. And Jorge, Corona makes one now, so you'll be fine.
Nah, man, modelo.
Everybody makes one now. Every beer distributor has one of their own as well. And LZ, just so we're clear, I want to make sure that you're talking about, you know, you want to get your drink on. We can still have the fruity drinks, right? Because especially later in my life, I've really gotten kind of turned on to the whole mango cocktail, watermelon cocktail. That I was more of a beer and liquor guy early in my life, but the older I get, the more I like something with a little fruity impact. We're still okay with those, right?
Yeah. You can still do those, but I mean, you saw what I drank that Saturday night: dirty martini, gin, blue cheese.
Yeah,
olive.
But that was a steakhouse. You're supposed to have a martini.
That's a man.
So I'm saying, if we go to a beach or a pool, you can get something with an umbrella in it, right? That's okay. It's still fine.
Oh God. If I had an umbrella in my drink, I'm throwing a drink at the server.
Oh, by the way,
carrying space being used up by an umbrella. I want all liquor.
Karen K just informed me. She just logged off of Raj.com and she says Adam Ant is indeed alive. So you guys can go get some live. You don't have to see a hologram of Falco or Jermaine Stewart.
I would much rather have the dead body of Falco propped up on a microphone than sit there through a whole Adam Ant concert.
Oh, man.
I would much rather they use puppets and then lip sync Falco than actually go to an Adam Ant concert.
Yeah, the Goody Two Shoes song just does not really resonate anymore. At least Falco, for half a second, like, okay, cool, I remember this one. Adam Ant and whatever that other one was, the Take Your Clothes Off song.
And drink cheer.
No. The Don't Take Your Clothes Off song. If it was Take Your Clothes Off, Girl, Put That Wine Glass Down, then I would have gone to that concert. That's the kind of music I want to hear. Girl, put that cherry wine down, girl. We got something to talk about. That I'm here for.
There we go.
not bad, Raj. I like that you threw that third guy in there. I would not have I'll be honest, I thought that was a woman. I did not know who that song was just hearing the song. When you told me the name, okay, cool.
You know why you thought it was a woman, Travis? Because dudes don't think like that. We don't think, leave your clothes on, girl, and let's drink some cherry wine. We don't do that.
I'm just saying, it just kind of hit me a certain way. All right, the Dodgers are looking great as they sit here right now, but is the schedule a problem? We'll explain next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So spring training doesn't matter at all. We know that for sure. We've seen a million guys show up and, you know, look like the second coming of Willie Mays in spring training, and then they can't get the ball out of the infield during the regular season. But I'll tell you this, LZ, watching the Dodgers play the Diamondbacks last night, they beat them up again 12-1. It's the second night in a row that they've done that. And just seeing the lineup that the Dodgers run out there, seeing the lineup that's got Betts and Muncy and Turner and Hernandez and Bellinger and Lux, Seager, Pollock, Peterson, just right on down the line. And then looking at the lineup that the Diamondbacks have out there, knowing what the Padres have, knowing what the Rockies and the rest of the National League West has, I know that anything can happen in a 60-game series, but I'm here to tell you the one thing that's not going to happen is the Dodgers miss the playoffs. They're just so much better than everyone else. The question that you've brought up a few times, and I think it's a good one, is kicking the tires off of Arizona and San Diego going to get them ready to deal with the Braves or the Cubs or, you know, maybe the Yankees in the World Series? That's the bigger question.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can answer this question without actually playing any team of caliber. And I'm not trying to suggest that the Dodgers aren't as good as advertised. I'm certainly not trying to suggest that they won't win the World Series. But a hallmark card of a championship squad is showing a certain amount of dominance over similarly ranked opponents. And if all you're doing is getting fat off of, you know, helpless victims like the Arizona Diamondbacks, I do wonder what happens when you face, you know, Cole with the Yankees while also trying to keep Aaron Judge from hitting your ball out of the park. And if you don't have that kind of pressure on you during a regular season, especially for guys, you know, like maybe a Dustin May who's still trying to figure it all out, getting fat off of bad teams is nice for a record over the course of 162 games. But in a 60-game season, you just need more pressure quicker, so you can get acclimated faster. And I don't think that opportunity is there based upon the schedule of teams that the Dodgers are going to face.
No, it's not. I mean, San Diego won 70 games last year. Colorado won 71. The Giants won 77. Come on, Arizona's a little bit better. They won 85. You look at the American League teams that they're going to play. Seattle won 68. The Angels won 72. The Rangers won 78. And then you've got two legitimately good teams in Houston and Oakland. So those games against the Astros and against the A's, two teams that, you know, the A's, you forget, the A's nearly won 100 games. They won 97 games. They're a good team. The Dodgers are going to play them a lot. Those games take on added significance because, like you were saying, those are the two types of teams that you're going to see in the postseason. The Padres and the Rockies are not going to be there. That being said, I don't know if it's so much an experience thing because the Dodgers are pretty experienced. Most of these guys have been through this. I just think it's more of a, you haven't seen quality play in the better part of what it'll be a couple of months. And all of a sudden, Wait, that's Steven Strasburg. That's Max Scherzer. Wait, where's this been the entire season? Because you're not going to see a ton of guys like that.
No, you're not. And look, for the Travises in the world, the ones who like a nice little, you know, 7-2 victories, the ones who don't want to see a real tense, you know, matchup where it's like 0-0 in the bottom of the eighth. If you don't want to see those games, then don't worry, you won't, because the Dodgers are going to the Dodgers are going to put up some numbers, and especially considering that they're facing a lot of bad teams. But even against the good teams, we had to kind of light up. I won't say that would chase a guy like Cole or Strasburg, but we might be able to get 2 to 3 runs on them, you know, over the course of 7 innings, which is basically a blowout when you think about their ERAs.
Well, you know, I was watching the game last night, and Arizona had this poor guy on the mound last night, Clark, who he was just getting ground into dust, and it happened in the first inning. Justin Turner comes up and has, I think it was a 14-pitch at-bat. And then Cody Bellinger comes up right after him and has another at-bat that goes 8 or 9 pitches. This guy was into the 50s after 2 innings because these guys just grind you up. It's foul balls. It's taking a lot of borderline pitches. They're seeing a bunch of 3-2 counts. And you can only survive for so long when you have to throw 8 or 9 pitches to every guy, because eventually you're going to hit the middle of the plate and those guys aren't going to miss. I mean, last night in that game, Mookie Betts hits a 3-run home run right after Jock Peterson hits a 2-run home run. The Dodgers fall behind by a run. Arias gives up a home run, whatever. It's going to happen. And then it's just, bam, 5 runs in the next half of the inning, and there's just no let-up for these guys. Hershiser said it in the telecast last night. You have to get to the 8th spot in the order if you're the opposing pitcher before you have to pitch to a guy that isn't an all-star. And the more I've watched them play, the more I'm convinced than ever that this is going to be a pretty easy 60-game walk. That if they win less than 40 games, I'd be really surprised, because A, they're that good, and B, they're not playing anybody.
Yeah. I feel almost bad for opposing pitchers, because there's just no breaks, man. Just none. Like, what do you want? You want to, like, you know, let me face JT instead of Muncy? Face Bellinger instead of what, Jock Peterson? Like, where's your poison that you're picking? Because no matter where you go, you're going to get ill. I mean, that's just the luxury. And let me ask you this question. We obviously are very bullish on the Dodgers for right reasons, and we're bullish on the Lakers. Who are we more bullish about?
The Dodgers. Because the gap between the Dodgers and the next closest team in their league is far wider than the gap between the Lakers and the next close. The gap between the Lakers and the Clippers, there's a gap, but it's not a particularly big one. If the Clippers beat the Lakers, you would be mildly surprised, maybe, if I'm guessing right. If somebody in the National League beat the Dodgers, I would be genuinely shocked, because, and I know that baseball is baseball and that anything can happen, but the Dodgers are much better than everybody else. I don't know if the Lakers are better than everybody, but the Clippers are not far behind. That's how I see it. What about you?
When I was asking the question, I was hoping you would answer it first, because I needed more time to think about it. I'm going to go with the Lakers, man. I'm going to go with the Lakers, because as great as the Dodgers are, they don't have anyone that's in the GOAT conversation like LeBron is.
No. You know?
And Kershaw obviously is considered the best pitcher of his generation. But his yeah, but is way more justified than LeBron's yeah, but.
Oh, sure. So that's a real one.
So I'm gonna go with the Dodgers, with the Lakers, only because they have a guy who may end up being the best to ever do it, and he's still doing it at an extremely high level.
It's not a bad answer. Here's why I think your one has a more likely chance of turning out right. It's just the nature of the NBA versus the nature of Major League Baseball. That if not always, but usually, if I have the better team, I'm going to win, right? Usually in the basketball, the better team wins. The Lakers are better than the Clippers, as evidenced by them having a better record through 65 games or however many they've put up. It's close, but the Lakers have a better record. The Dodgers are going to have a much better record, but we know in baseball, when you go into a 7-game series, one of your, let's say Clayton Kershaw, to pick the guy, has a bad day. Now all of a sudden you're chasing that win that you kind of had. In baseball, that happens far more frequently than in basketball. But the Dodger talent gap between them and the next closest team is far more significant, I think.
Yeah, I hear you. And it's a nice problem to have, you know, where we can debate – oh man, which one of our teams is so dominant that they're just going to win easier than the other team? You know, right. When we first started doing the morning show, the question was, who in the hell is going to break this drought first? Now we're trying to figure out which team is going to break the drought most impressively. That's a nice change of pace.
What do you think? Okay, so what's more likely? They both win or neither wins? It's the second thing, what's isn't more, it?
What's most likely? That they both win.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, I think that's more likely. It's hard for me to see both these stacked squads coming up short, even with the Rona. Even with all the difficulties of the Rona, it's just so hard for me to see neither one of these squads finishing the deal. Come on, man.
Hard, man. It is. You know, you said it. You know, you're talking about the Rona and dealing with all the variables that comes with. Not in the NBA. They've had zero positive tests out of 346 since the bubble's been sealed. That is remarkable. I mean, it works. And if I'm baseball and I'm seeing that, I'm thinking, damn, why didn't we do that? And I know there's some extenuating circumstances, but when I'm seeing numbers like that, and since those two teams in MLS left the bubble because they had too many positive tests, we haven't seen anything there either. And this is in the midst of Florida, which has numbers going through the roof. That bubble, man, that thing works.
It definitely works if people buy into it. And that's the thing. You got to buy into it. And oh, by the way, I'm not just talking about the athletes.
Yeah.
I'm talking about all of us. You know, I get it. We don't want to have our haircuts outside. I definitely don't want to be sitting outside for hours getting my locks done. But this is where we are.
Hours.
Because we didn't. Well, yeah, man. You think this thing is done
in and out of there in 20 minutes?
Well, let's just say I got a little bit more to work with. I'm not on the Caruso train where he had that great,
hey.
Guess apparently he asked the barber, he's like, hey, how much is it for a shine buff up top as opposed to a haircut?
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. I'm Alex, I feel you. I understand your pain. Ryan Hollins is going to join us next. We'll ask him about what he's expecting for the Lakers. Are they a better lock? That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, we are joined right now by former NBA player. He's also one of the co-hosts of the Opinionated Seven Footers podcast, friend of the show, Ryan Hollins. Good morning, Ryan. How are things?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What's up?
What's up, sir? What's up? What's up? What's up? Travis and I were having this debate, and maybe you can settle it for us, my friend. Is LeBron James the most disrespected all-time great in the history of the NBA? And if not, who's been more disrespected than him?
There's a lot of disrespect out there, but I have no grift, no problems with anybody saying that LeBron James is the most disrespected. I mean, LeBron James literally had to build his own school almost by hand in the outbacks of Akron just for people to acknowledge how great he is. You know, the reality is when LeBron James came out with the decision, it was horrible for his career. LeBron James didn't realize, to his credit, the only real mistake he's made, okay, let's be honest, was how important that he was to the people of Akron. And when we think of greatness, we think of Michael. And then after we thought of Michael, Kobe was so close to Michael. So he said, that's what greatness looks like, okay? And LeBron James was LeBron James. When I played against LeBron, it felt like he was more obsessed with singing on the sidelines and dancing, and, you know, they'd have a little picture party before the starting lineups. LeBron likes to have fun. LeBron likes to be liked. Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan could care less about being liked. So because in our minds he wasn't greatness, he wasn't tough, he wasn't stern, he wasn't the legends that we saw of Michael and Kobe – a lot of people question what LeBron was, and LeBron was never came into the league as a finished product. In fact, he's a guy who's improved every year while being in the league and got better. So, you know, that he wasn't a great three-point shooter, didn't have great footwork on the block, didn't have a post game. These are things that he added in to his arsenal. people are slowly recognizing how great he is. But anytime you mention that guy, Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, oh, man, those are fighting words, fellas. So I believe that's a strong reason why LeBron James is not getting his due.
Like, I get it from a comparison standpoint, Ryan, that if you want to argue that Michael Jordan is better, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is better, okay, fine. We could go around the block 1,000 times on that. What I don't get is the immediate reaction to try to discredit what LeBron has done. The yeah, but, yeah, he played in the East, or yeah, he had to go join Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, or yeah, he had to do this, that, and the next thing. That's unique to LeBron. That's usually reserved for players that are much further down the list of great players in this league. Yeah, he couldn't do this or that. He's the only guy in that top cut with, you know, maybe two or three other guys where you try to tear down what he's actually done. He's unique like that. Why?
Like I said, you know, for the most part, flat out, we can blame Skip Bayless for a lot of it. He's been leading the charge for a while, but it just wasn't what we're used to. Like, we were used to that basketball where, you know, you stayed on one team for your entire career. You never changed squads. You know, you didn't complain. You never joined up with another superstar. I could argue also that Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant did not understand their brands until post-basketball career. LeBron James is going to go down arguably as the greatest businessman to ever play the game on top of being one of the greatest. So LeBron understood his brand, where Michael and Kobe and even Kareem, those guys are just, they had tunnel vision on basketball. And like I said, LeBron had growing to do. And I mean, heck, let's be honest, guys. It's hard to relate to a guy who is 6'8", 275 pounds, who can jump through the gym. You don't go to the park and emulate that move. You know, maybe we did Michael Jordan hanging in the air, you know, a Kobe Bryant fadeaway, but you felt like, you know, LeBron, in a sense, had this athletic entitlement, and that he didn't really live up to the hype. And when you watch LeBron from playing against him, you know, there are moments where you've seen like a dejected LeBron James, a LeBron that didn't want the basketball at times, where Kobe Bryant, one of his legacies, guys, forgive me if I'm wrong, was shooting 3 or 4 air balls as a rookie in the playoffs. And then he goes to the gym and goes straight to the park and starts shooting free throws at like 4 or 5 a.m. So you didn't see that from LeBron early in his career. And then he's compared to those guys. So, you know, like I said, it's fighting words.
It is so, you know, whatever. But I do believe that there is a lack of respect for his overall game. And maybe some of that is the reason why Giannis appears to be the runaway favorite for MVP. Do you believe Giannis should be the runaway favorite, or are you thinking, once again, LeBron James, much like the players before him, they're just fatigued with giving him that award?
Hey, Giannis ain't the runaway favorite, all right? LeBron gave that boy that business the last time they played.
Yeah, right? But that was like in the winter. That was in the winter. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do in the fall.
Feels like a lifetime ago.
Those awards were based in. And LeBron James, before COVID shut down the NBA, he had probably one of the most impressive weeks we've seen in basketball history in a very long time. I'm going to have to dig back into some archives. And latest time, talking about a superstar going head up with his rivals, with a Kawhi Leonard, one of the greatest players, you know, one of the greatest single-season players we'd ever seen, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, young budding star, literally the Greek freak is the name that he can have. So, yes, LeBron James went at it. But if we're going to talk MVP, I'm going to be honest with you guys, right, fellas? We can be honest on this show, right? That's all you ask. You can be honest, right?
Let rip.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? The reigning MVP, he's averaging more points, more rebounds, more blocks for him, not comparing to LeBron, more assists, a three-pointer more made a game in less minutes than he has the best record in the MVP in the league. It is hard for me to take that award away from him. But when I look at LeBron, is LeBron James the better player? Yes. Did he have the better career? Yes. But is he the MVP? Might I remind you, LeBron James, look, our guy now. It's our guy. He didn't show up game 1 against Kawhi. All right? He got blasted at home against Milwaukee. LeBron James never came into this season saying, I want MVP. He's like, well, heck, I'm going to take it. I'm in stride now. I'm going to take it, y'all. Y'all vote me in. Give it to me. But that's not something he was looking to do. And Giannis is still trying to earn his stripes in the league. So, you know, young fella got a motor that don't turn off yet.
Ryan Hollins joining us here on the morning show. Ryan, give me a team that's not the Lakers, Clippers, or Bucks and why they can win an NBA championship.
I'm going to give you a team. You want a team? The Boston Celtics. I say the Boston Celtics because it's a perimeter-oriented game now. Okay, you score on the wings. You need a few dynamic wings who can guard multiple positions, okay, outside of Kemba Walker, who can get busy on the offensive end. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. Go down the line. Gordon Hayward off the bench. Like, they have the firepower. The question I have is, can they defend the paint? Do they have enough inside to defend the paint against the Giannises, against the Rons, against the Kawhis, who would likely have a field day in the paint? But as far as offensively, that's a team that can click defensively. Remember, that was one of the better defensive units that we've seen a couple years ago, obviously with no Al Horford over there now, than we've seen in the league in a while. So, if Brad can just mix in a hair of defense, I like Boston.
I like Ryan. Boston too, but not like that. That's like you really aggressive with that.
Ryan Hollins is the host of the Opinionated Seven Footers podcast. Woo-hoo! Of course, you hear him on our show all the time as well. Ryan, thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, fellas. Sounding great, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, so that's the NBA. We're going to go to the NFL and see if the players got what they were asking for yesterday with the COVID testing. We're going to join by Trey Turner, guard for the Los Angeles Chargers. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.